Happy Easter. It's great to see everybody gathered here this morning. This past week, I was entering into my day, and in the morning, sometimes I turn on Morning Joe on MSNBC. I don't know if any of you watch Morning Joe. But I was sometimes I put that on. There's lots of options in the morning of different talk shows, different news shows, and sometimes I go with MSNBC with Morning Joe. And the other day they had on two guests, two religious leaders. One was a priest, the other was a rabbi. It was done because of this Holy Week for Christians, and also Passover was on Friday. And so these two religious leaders were invited to talk about their feasts, their celebrations, their customs, their traditions, in a little kind of five-minute segment. But in the midst of that conversation, one of the people on the panel asked the two clergymen, in the midst of where we are today in our society, in our world, in our culture, in the midst of these religious feasts, these religious festivals, there has been a great decline, he said, in membership, church membership. There's been a great decline in church attendance, which is actually across faith traditions, and not just in the Christian tradition, but across faith traditions. And it was kind of probing their response to that. And the rabbi gave this really interesting answer. He captured it really in four words that stuck with me. And he responded by saying, well, the times we live in, yes, there is this decline in membership, decline in attendance. But he said, what I'm finding and what I'm experiencing, particularly among the younger folks in our society today, but really throughout our society, is that people are, here's the phrase, people are spiritually ravenous and institutionally suspicious. Isn't that a great phrase? Spiritually ravenous, institutionally suspicious. Isn't that a great word? Ravenous. You know, ravenous means to starve for, to hunger for, to so search for, and to be ravenous in our spiritual journey. You know, I've often shared my sense of the spiritual journey is that search for meaning. And all of us are born with that. It's part of being a human creature. We're born with that search for meaning. And that is, for me, the spiritual quest. And maybe we do live in a time where we are ravenous about finding that meaning. And yet, on the other hand, there is this suspicion of institutions. The church has experienced that. People in the wider church have experienced mistrust, disappointment, the church not living up to what it proclaims, some members of the church, of the clergy, not living up to what is being preached and proclaimed. So there's a suspicion of institutions. It's not just in the church. Institutions of government are being held in doubt. There's suspicion about the church, about government today. Talk to younger folks, younger generation, even teenagers about politics and government, and they'll give you the sense of, this concern of, where is this going? So we live in the midst of these challenging times where our institutions are being looked at with suspicion. People are spiritually ravenous and institutionally suspicious. And so we live in that time. And as we gather together today at Easter, we gather as the faith community of St. Paul's. And what can Easter say to us in the midst of these times, in the midst of what is experienced? I'd like to offer a thought. Today is Easter, and it's very common for us to say that this is the day that Jesus rose from the dead. People say, did Jesus rise from the dead? Yes, Jesus rose from the dead. You ever say that? Jesus rose from the dead. I'd like to suggest, though, that I don't believe that. Stay with me here. When you look at Scripture, What oftentimes is said in Scripture about the resurrection is not that Jesus rose from the dead, but that Jesus was raised from the dead. Do you hear the difference in that sentence? Jesus was raised from the dead. That's how Paul talks about it. It's how it's talked about in so much of Scripture in the Acts. Jesus was raised from the dead. And when we look at that, who was he raised from the dead by? In biblical language, by God. He was raised by God the Father. God raised him from the dead. Do you hear the difference in that? It's not that Jesus on his own rose from the dead. That Jesus on his own walked through his passion and suffering and on his own did this. So why do we think we're better than Jesus? Jesus entered into this relationship, had this relationship with God, his Father, the Creator. From the moment of creation, Christ was one with the creating God. And this relationship is what Jesus lived into. And throughout his ministry, throughout his life, he was calling others to share in this relationship. And the way Jesus did that in so many ways was he formed a community. He formed an intimate group of followers who cared and nurtured one another. But then were also sent out to the world. Sent in many ways in Jesus' time to the perimeters, to the outcasts, to those places in society where people had been placed because people felt they were okay being there and not perhaps in the midst of society. Jesus reached out to the outcast, the poor, the sick. He reached out to bring about justice in his time. And ultimately, it was that passion for that that led him to his death. And Jesus called others into that kind of relationship, into that kind of life. How do we do that? How do we, as a community of faith, live into that? How do we engage in that relationship together? How do we here at St. Paul's? We're called to imitate that life that Christ lived and to live ever more deeply into this life that Jesus lived. We form community as Jesus did. We form a community of faith where we are able to nurture each other, care for each other, be with each other. We share times together. We create friendships here, relationships here, fellowship here. The guys later today are heading to the beach for the beach week. Next week, the women head to the beach for the beach week as well. We care for each other when we're sick, when we need to be cared for, if we need a meal, if you need a visit in the hospital. We're here to care for each other. But then we're called to image that and mirror that to the wider community. We're called to go beyond ourselves. We're called to go to the edges of our society and of our time and reach out to those whose society somehow doesn't even want to see or care to see. And that's the call we have. And how do we do that here at St. Paul's? We do it in so many ways. You probably experienced it in your own life here at St. Paul's. I just want to highlight just a couple of examples among many. We're called, as I mentioned, to connect with one another and to go forth. And how do we go forth? There are numerous ways that we can be a part of that and know that it happens. Here in St. Paul's, we have our refugee ministry. Our ministry with folks who come from such foreign lands, foreign experiences, experiences that we perhaps couldn't even imagine. And we've welcomed some families here into our area, into our community. And we enter into relationship with them, like Jesus did. Entering into relationship. When you enter into relationship, things happen in the midst of that. Like Jesus, we need to imitate that. It's not that we have something. Our refugee brothers and sisters come here, and we're kind of like, well, we can help you. It's not about that approach. It's about being in relationship together and something new happens. Father Greg Boyle, a Jesuit priest in Los Angeles, for years has done work in LA with gang members. And he's been doing this for 25 years. And he said when he first began this ministry, he was drawn to the ministry to somehow change gangs. change gangs. That was his goal in his ministry. Until he realized that you can't change gangs, but he entered into relationship with gang members. And in those relationships, new things happen. He says, I don't know if I've changed any of the gangs in L.A., but I know that those gang members have changed me and have transformed my life. And if we can enter into the ministries that we're called to with that kind of approach, to be in relationship, we do that with our refugees who've come to this country and talk to folks who are intimately involved in that. Their lives have been changed. I mean, both the folks here at St. Paul's and those that we are in relationship with, refugees, all lives have been changed as we move together in relationship. Here at St. Paul's, we walk with the LGBTQIA community as we enter into relationship with each other. We have our rainbow gathering here at St. Paul's where we stand with folks from the LGBTQ community who are in many ways live at the edge. And we enter into relationship to walk together, to be together with dignity and inclusiveness and see where God is acting in our midst. We're involved in racial equity, fighting for justice in this country, in this world. We're involved with the Racial Equity Institute. Last week, we had a two-day training here of the Racial Equity Institute. Over 60 people were here from the community, across faith traditions, across demographics, who came here to St. Paul's to experience 2 days of conversation and learning and discernment and insight how we can address this great sin of racism that seems to be rising in our country. We're involved with Wake County Sponsors, building relationships with other congregations, almost 60 of them now, as we enter into relationship as Jesus did, and out of those relationships work together to bring about new life. Gosh, there's just so many examples of that in our lives, as we're called to form community as Jesus did, but called to go forth and make a difference in this world by engaging in relationship. People are spiritually ravenous. Are you? Are you ravenous for this life that Jesus offers us at Easter? Are you willing to give of your life like Jesus did and make a difference? That is the gospel message. That is this feast of Easter. Bishop Curry, our friend Bishop Curry, was interviewed a week or two ago. And in the interview, he was asked a question. Now, this was in the midst of a larger interview. So this answer is in the context of that. But I think this question and this answer in the context of what we've just spoken about perhaps can speak to us. In this interview, Bishop Curry was asked, average Sunday attendance at Episcopal churches has dropped by 24% in the last decade. What strategies are you using to reverse that tide? That's the question. What strategies are you using to reverse that tide? Bishop Curry's response? None. Questions about church attendance and church decline are second-order questions. The first-order questions are whether we are helping our people to have living relationships with God and with other people. If the answer is yes, then issues of church growth will take care of themselves. The first Christians, the first followers of Jesus, never had a discussion about how many people they had at church on a Sunday. But they kept following Jesus and his teachings. And eventually, they turned an empire upside down. As we gather on this Easter day, may we be in relationship with each other, not just with us gathered, but in relationship with those who live at the perimeter, in relationship with those who Jesus is with already. The great message of the gospel, he's gone ahead of you to Galilee, there you'll find him. Let us go out and find Jesus in the midst of these communities of folks that we keep at the edge. May we join hands together in relationship and be drawn into relationship with God, the Creator, God who's given us life. And may we be raised from the dead. May this world and this creation and this society in its challenging and sometimes dark times be raised from the dead. May we walk forth with that passion to be spiritually ravenous, to pursue meaning, and join together in the new life that Jesus offers us and God offers us on this Easter day.